What does the word sufficiency mean to you? Well, stay tuned to find out why this matters for how we live the Christian life on Unapologetic. So I hope you have your definition, your usage of the word sufficient, in mind. And let me tell you why this is important. Several Sundays ago, I was sitting in my church on a Sunday morning, listening to the pastor speak, and he was talking about how at our church, we believe that Scripture is sufficient. It is what we need. It is everything we need from God to know about Him and to live a life of holiness. And I reflected on that because I often try to think, how is what is being said going to be understood by other people? Now, I think the pastor at my church does a wonderful job communicating, or I wouldn't go there, and especially communicating the gospel, or I wouldn't go there. But nonetheless, I think it's interesting, as someone who speaks and communicates, to think about how are certain phrases going to be understood by other people. And you know, it's interesting because there is a doctrine in Christianity called the sufficiency of Scripture. And this is what my pastor was talking about. He was saying Scripture is sufficient. It is all we need from God for certain things. And you know, I sat there and I thought, you know, I don't know that that's actually going to communicate to people, maybe in a younger generation, or maybe just people living in America today, in the way we would expect. Now, I would have said it exactly like he said it. This is not a criticism at all. My point is this doctrine called the sufficiency of Scripture may not communicate. And so let's talk about that today. If you were to ask someone outside of talking about the Bible or Scripture or Christianity how they think of the word sufficient, it probably doesn't have like fireworks going off in your mind when you think about it. It's kind of like if you were to ask someone after a meal, how was that meal? Let's say that you cooked for them, and they said, oh, it was sufficient. That's not really a ringing endorsement, is it? You're not going to be thrilled, and they probably weren't thrilled either if they said it that way. You know, or how was the preparation you had for that test? Well, it was sufficient. Right? Even the way we say the word sufficient kind of has a tone that conveys, well, it's lacking something we would have wanted. It may have been what we needed, but it's not what we wanted. And I think there's the possibility for people today to bring that kind of concept and tone and color to mind when we talk about the sufficiency of Scripture. And really to think of it as something that's not exactly what we want. So let's talk about the sufficiency of Scripture today. And this is the doctrine that the Scriptures are complete. They are lacking nothing in terms of what we need from God to live lives of holiness, to know the gospel, and to know what He expects about us, and to know Him. Now, it's not the teaching that the Scriptures are all we need to know, right? That wouldn't tell me how to fix a car, it wouldn't tell me how to do my job, and it wouldn't tell me how to turn the AC on in my house. So there are other sources of knowledge we need. But the question comes, which one is the ultimate authority? Which one is the ultimate source? And more than that, what are the sources that are able to tell me about God authoritatively? So let's go to Scripture and see what Scripture says about itself. And in 2 Timothy 3, we see that the sacred writings are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Okay, so they're at least sufficient for that. They're sufficient for telling you the gospel, what you need to know to be saved, and bringing you to have faith in Christ. That's a huge thing. There's nothing else that can do that besides the Scriptures. But it continues, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. There's a lot in there. In fact, it's saying that the Scriptures are all we need to be capable and equipped, not for some good works, but for every good work. Not just somewhat equipped, but competent and equipped. Right? We're not lacking anything here. It is, here's that word, sufficient. And we, like I said, we often don't think about that word in ringing terms, or it doesn't have a glowing endorsement, But really, when you think about it, the God of the universe has told us everything we need to know to be wise unto salvation and to live the lives that bring Him glory, which is what we were created to do. We have been told everything we need to fulfill our purpose as people. That is not something to just be ho-hum about. Oh, it's sufficient. It's something to be excited about. It's something to be thankful for. God has no obligation to reveal himself to us. And it's, in fact, we are kind of in a privileged position in history. And I don't want us to make too much of that, but look back. God has more fully and progressively revealed himself through time and through the prophets and through the writings. And now we have the full and final revelation of God that it in its totality. And so we know more about God than people before Jesus. And we know more about God than the people who only had the scriptures a decade after Jesus, because there were more writings to come. So God in his sovereignty has progressively revealed himself, and he's done it in such a way that we ended up with the Bible we have that is sufficient for living lives that are pleasing to him. Now, why am I camping out on this? Why does this matter? Because what it means is that we don't need any more special revelation. We don't need any more inspired and errant words from God, because we have the perfect standard for judging all other claims and for living the lives God expects from us. You may be thinking, okay, well, who says we need other things? Well, I think there are a couple areas where we actually don't consistently live out our conviction in the sufficiency of Scripture. One might be devotionals. There are some devotionals out there like the Jesus Calling and others that claim kind of to speak for God, or they're written such that Jesus is speaking to you, at least that's the tone. I think those are really dangerous. I think we should ask ourselves, are we connecting best with God through his word or through the words of man? Because Jesus is not speaking to you through a devotional. Those aren't his words. His words are in Scripture. And so what is speaking to you most? Do I find it most easy to relate with the Jesus I find in my devotional or the one I find in my Bible? If it's the one you find in your devotional, that's not the true Jesus, right? This should cause us concern if we're being more emotionally connected, more intellectually connected with the words of someone who are not Jesus than Jesus. It'd be kind of like if I were more in tune with, let's say, my secretary emotionally and intellectually than I were my wife. That's a problem. And it's an even bigger problem when it comes to God, who has created us in his image to commune with us, to have a relationship with us, and that we might come to know him through his word, which is what? Sufficient, that we can be capable and equipped for every good work. Now, I think there is a place for devotionals, but devotionals that are written such that they claim to speak for God or make us feel that way, that's dangerous. Okay, so that's one thing. The other aspect is prayer. Now, I know there's disagreement here, but there are compelling reasons to apply our concept of the sufficiency of Scripture to our prayer lives. Oftentimes, prayer is said to be a way where we hear from God. Now, I would challenge someone to support that as something that's prescriptively laid out in Scripture. But nonetheless, what would communication from God be? It would be inspired. It would be God's word. But what does the doctrine of sufficiency of Scripture say? That the Scriptures are the sufficient word of God, that we don't need something else. So that doesn't mean God can't communicate that way. But I do think biblically, for this and many other reasons, it means that he does not, at least as a rule, because he's given us his word there. So when you say, well, I need a fresh word from God, well, maybe read a different part of your Bible. And I don't say that glibly too much, but that's true. When we want to hear from God, we go to his word. That's why he gave it to us. People, myself included at points in my life, have wondered, why aren't we hearing from God? Well, are we reading his word? Most often, the answer to that is no. Or we have some false and incorrect impression of what it means to hear from God. Partly maybe due to growing up and in contemporary evangelical culture, which I think has very incorrect ideas on hearing the voice of God and things like that. But if Scripture is sufficient and it's everything we need, why should we expect regular communication from God in some other way? And how many times have we seen that people claim to have gotten inspiration from God, words from God, and they contradict, they don't line up? Well, Scripture doesn't do that because it's the inspired word of God. So whatever these two people are claiming, it's not the inspired word of God, because God does not err and he does not contradict himself. He's a God of order. So I think this doctrine has far-reaching implications. It has implications for how we look at our prayer life, like we're just talking about. Let's not expect something from God that he's already revealed, and let's realize that he's already given us everything we need. We don't need to seek more. More than that, though, I think it has implications for what devotionals we read and how we study and the types of inputs we have. because we should be comparing everything to Scripture. And the source of our encouragement daily should not come from the words of man, but from the words of God in Scripture. I think devotionals can be helpful. I think a lot of them are rather poor and they take Scripture out of context. However, if you were going to find one, I would find one that has a passage in its context, not just a single verse, and it offers some commentary on that. Because one of the other things that happens is sometimes these devotionals, especially like the Jesus Calling, they tell us things we want to hear. They never seem to bring out passages that say that you might end up suffering for God, right? That Jesus said, actually, you may be made to suffer for me. Don't expect better than your master got. They don't talk on those themes often. They're only happy thoughts. They're comforting, and they make it seem like God wants our life to be comfortable oftentimes, and that's not true. So we need to be careful, and we need to go to Scripture for our spiritual nourishment before we go anywhere else. The other thought I'll leave you with is that as we are in Scripture, this is preparing us to fulfill what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10:6, where he says, "For though we live in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not the weapons of the world. Instead, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." And this is key. "We tear down arguments and every presumption set up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Now, I've heard this last verse applied to temptation. Well, I'm going to take this, let's say, lustful thought captive to Christ. I think that's maybe you could apply this that way. But what it's talking about is that we have ideas that come to our mind that influence our thinking, that come out of our hearts, or they come to us from culture, that are diametrically opposed to Christ. Often these are things that say, "I am my own God in some way. I can live autonomously. I can decide in this area. I came to know these things on my own. I came to decide these things." And yet what we realize when we look at Scripture and we take it in its sufficiency and in its totality is that there is no correct view of the world that does not depend on the knowledge of God. That everything that exists only exists because of God. That when I read my devotional and I hear it speaking to me as if it were Jesus, if I know the Jesus of the Bible, I will be able to tell that that is not him. And I will be able to tell that I should get my words from Scripture because Scripture claims to be sufficient. And so knowing that about Scripture, being saturated with Scripture, allows us to identify thoughts and ideas both in ourselves and others that are contrary to Scripture and to take those captive to the lordship of Christ. And that's key. This also coincides with what Romans 12 talks about, renewing our mind. That's by Scripture and the work of the Spirit applying that Scripture. But Scripture is key. If you had to make a word cloud for this podcast, Scripture would probably be at the top of it. And I want us to think about reclaiming the word sufficient such that it doesn't just have an average or ho-hum type of connotation, but that it's something we rejoice in and we find joy in. That God has given us the totality of his revelation. We don't have to wonder how to be saved. We don't have to wonder what he's like. We don't have to wonder how to live for him or what we were made to do, because he's told us all of that in his word. And so let's go to that word daily to imbibe from the source of life, from that source of inspired words of God. Well, I will talk with you next week on Unapologetic.